Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Was last week the Justin Fields breakout game, or was that the Chargers game?
Last week.
Is this week the Najee Harris breakout game?
Yes.
It better be.
Has to be.
He was dreadful last week. And they were talking junk on him during the game, probably before the game, certainly after the game. I'm hoping that leads to a motivated Najee Harris. Because if not, you can't run against these guys. Jaylen Warren's getting the touches when he gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Cordarrelle Patterson getting the touches when he gets back. We'll get into that game with Lee Sterling in a minute. Going to go over a lot of the weekend's biggest games. Lee, of course, from ParamountSports.com. Hello, Lee. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys holding up?
Oh, we're good. We got Justin Fields, man, franchise quarterback. We're back in this thing.
Hey, things are so bad here, we would probably take him in a heartbeat.
Would you take Russell Wilson in Miami?
No.
All right, how about your Hurricanes? The College Game Day game tells you there's not a lot going on in this slate, but Miami favored by 10, going on the road for an old classic ACC showdown against Cal.
Yeah, so Miami, a lot of people feel that they're vulnerable. I always thought that their defense was going to be punctured, and I just thought it was going to be someone, you know, like a Texas and Ohio State and a bowl game, maybe even Clemson in the ACC championship game. But they gave 34 points to Virginia Tech. Now, Virginia Tech, a lot of people had talked about them having a pretty good offense. In fact, they returned 20 of 22 starters. But great game plan. They executed. Miami had it. They had five defensive players go off the field that were nicked up or cramped up during the game. They will get back Reuben Bain for this game. So this line started higher, 13.5. People are betting Cal. They might get about maybe 40 or 50 students to show up for the game. So the usual 10 or 15 that wander by that didn't realize what was going on. But it's a long flight from Miami. 6 hours, 10:30 Eastern start, ACC after dark. Here's the problem. Cal, they don't hit on explosive plays. They're number 88 in the country. They only have 16 plays of 20 yards or more. They were in the red zone 7 times against Florida State, only were able to get a couple field goals. Miami, number 2 in the country, 107 plays of 10 yards or more, 45 of 20 yards or more here. Cam Ward played against this defense last year, put up 39 points. Damian Martinez, the running back, went wild when Oregon State put up 52 on them here. I think Miami is going to wake up here. They're eventually going to lose. It may be the ACC championship game or a playoff game, but I like Miami. They pull away 45-28.
Lee, my Pitt Panthers, coming off of a bye week, they're getting Rodney Hammond Jr. back, one of their running backs from last year.
Yep.
North Carolina's on their third-string quarterback. They had a devastating loss last week to the rival Duke. I think it was, 21-20. Pitt's given 3 points at North Carolina.
Mac Brown has got to be beside himself. If he doesn't retire, he's at least going to I could see Jeff Collins getting fired after this game. So Jeff Collins, who they brought in, the former Georgia Tech and Temple head coach, is the new defensive coordinator. They gave up 70 to James Madison. Then they're up 20-0 in the third quarter and lost 21-20 to his former defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz. So they just are not a good team at all. All they can do is run with Hampton at running back. Other than that, they're on their third quarterback here. Eli Holstein's something special here. Kate Bell, the new offensive coordinator, in fact, played against his father, Kerwin Bell, in a state semifinal game, doing a great job as Kate. I like Pitt here. I like him big here, 38-21.
There you go, Doran.
I like that.
I don't think we're making a lot of Kerwins these days. Feel like that name aged out. All right, on to the NFL. Buffalo, slight favorite, taking on Houston. Another good game in the league.
Yeah, and Buffalo, you could tell that was going to be a tough game for them. They gave up 271 rushing yards in that game. That 86-yard touchdown run, I think, was the tail of the tape. Now they're going to face a Texans team that only has Joe Mixon and Cam Akers. I don't think that scares anyone. And opponents are adjusting to C.J. Stroud here. I think Buffalo, they have some really good defensive numbers. They get back on track here. I like them 28-17.
Baltimore looked so dominant against the Bills last week, and Cincinnati's kind of desperate right now to win a football game. Baltimore Ravens giving 2 to the Bengals.
Yeah, this is a nice double revenge game here. Cincinnati lost 27-24 the first time they faced off last year, and then on that short week Thursday night loss, Joe Burrow left the game with a wrist injury, sidelined him for the season here. Ravens run heavy. 55% of the time they run the football. They got the lead in the Dallas game. They got the lead last week against Buffalo and just pounded the ball. What's Cincinnati's game plan up there? Smart, throw the ball early and often. Put some stress on that Baltimore defense. They play with a lead. I think we're going to see a different game here. I also like the 1-2 punch of this Cincinnati offense now. Everyone thought losing Mixon was a loss. Well, Zach Moss and Chase Brown picking up the slack, and they form a nice 1-2 punch here. Running back here, I think Joe Burrow does the job here. Wrong team favored, Cincinnati outright 30-27.
Whoa! I don't want that. I want Baltimore to finish the Bengals off. All right, on to the big one. Well, first, Lee Sterling on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. All right, Sunday Night Football, two big old brands here, Lee. Steelers, slight favorite at home against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep, so Pittsburgh's going to have a little more offense and play with some more urgency. They were caught in a web, I thought, against Indianapolis. You had a team that was desperate, early season, winless team at home, and just fell behind too much here. They're going to have to, I think, put some pressure on Dak Prescott. If not, could spell trouble. I thought they didn't pressure Joe Flacco enough last week. Steelers just haven't exploded on offense here, and they may not. Defensive scores can't simply be delivered upon ordering here. So I like Dallas. I just think their offense, a little more explosive, might be the difference. They pull the small upset 24-23. How about this? You want to throw in a bonus play?
Yes.
For West Virginia? How does that sound?
Yeah,
I have no read on this, Lee. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Did you have a read on that first game of the year?
I had the wrong read.
Okay. So, all right. Well, no read is better than a wrong read. Ollie Gordon, there's something going on here. I don't know if he's hurt or not, but just not even close to the numbers from last year. He ran through West Virginia defense like a 747 for 282 yards in that 48-34 road win. Revenge. I think Oklahoma State is fraudulent here. I think West Virginia is going to pass for 250, run for 215 here. We're going to go with the wrong team favored.
Let's go.
The Mountaineers get the job done here. 38-34.
Oh, we're so back. All right, Lee,
Every year, guys, there is a couple teams that start off slow and then all of a sudden win 4 or 5 times against the spread. West Virginia might be that team. You heard it here first.
I'll be watching the game at a wedding. All right, Lee, your free play for this weekend, buddy.
Yep, Penn State and UCLA, first 5 callers. We're going to give it to them for free, 800-400. 800-400-9741. They want to get Penn State and UCLA on me. 800-400-9741. You want to hop on board for football? We have the Locktober special from now through Thursday, October 31st. Just $297. When you check out, use coupon code SAVE200, normally $497. Take $200 off, SAVE200, just $297. ParamountSports.com. Also, a UFC card, a pay-per-view from Salt Lake City. Normally, we charge $77 to $97. We're going to give it away for $7. That's right. You heard me correct. Our UFC cards, where we've won six in a row, go for seven straight, $7. Where do you get it? Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Locktober, Lee, thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Thanks, Lee.
So he's got Pitt running away with it.
Yes.
Got West Virginia running away with it.
Yes. Both high-scoring games.
And has the Steelers losing.
Yes.
I felt very strongly that the Steelers were going to lose last week. I feel just as strong the opposite way this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into the nitty-gritty and we'll tell you why over the course of the next 50 or so minutes, because we're getting into odds and ends next. And then we got some film breakdown stuff with Chris Carter. And then we're handing out game balls on a Friday for Sunday to end the show. Let's go.
Yep.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, nitty-gritty time. Steelers, Cowboys, collision course, Sunday Night Football, Carrie Underwood, Acrisure Stadium. It's time for odds and ends.
Steelers, Cowboys, rivalry game, Crowley. Goes all the way back to the 70s.
That's right.
We talked about it. I mean, I was about 7 years old whenever the Steelers played the Cowboys in the Super Bowl in 1996. Kind of made me fall in love with players. Emmitt Smith, all those guys. Good game. Except for Neil O'Donnell.
Not good for him, yeah.
Right.
Bad game for him. Bad game for the guy who called in and said he was in the eighth row and he hates the 90s because of the Cowboys.
Correct. But it's a new era. And we get started. Justin Fields, Crowley. Over under 186.5 passing yards.
I'm going over. I think he throws for about 215.
You think it's going to be a big game for him? Passing?
I think it's going to be a big game for him overall.
Okay.
And Diggs might not play. Ball hawk for the Cowboys. I think that's only going to help if he does play. He's got an ankle injury. I like that. Yeah, I'm going over.
So am I. I'm going over. I went over last week. It was around the same number. I think it was exact. Maybe it was 183 or 186. I can't remember, but it was around the exact same number. He's definitely crossing 200 again. I think he picks right up where he left off last week. Over for Justin Fields. Dak Prescott, over under. Now, this is pretty high. 241.5 passing yards.
I'm going to go under. I don't think Rico Dowdle or Ezekiel Elliott is going to scare you running the football. They average 75 yards a game on the ground. They average throwing it 38 times a game, which is tops in the NFL. So the game really comes down to Dak and they're going to have to get yards somehow. That's how they get yards. You're going to throw for over 250.
So you're going over?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go under. 223, I think he gets.
220. So right on the nose, 223.
223.
223.
Yes, he's going to be under 241.5. Najee Harris over under 64.5 rushing yards. I know where you're at here.
Well, it better be freaking over. Yeah. As bad as the Cowboys are at running the ball, they might be worse at stopping the run. No Micah Parsons. No DeMarcus Lawrence. It's just not a good defense, and you take the two best players off the defense. They're giving up 105 rushing yards per game on the ground to a running back. I don't feel good about Najee Harris right now. I feel worse about the Dallas Cowboys rush defense. He's going over, Doran. It's going to be the Najee Harris game, bang.
I think he's going to go under. It's going to be around 59, 60 yards, but it's going to be under that mark. He's still going to get the halfway point of 100 yards, though, for Najee Harris. Now, Rico Dowdle, that's his name, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't been able to run the ball. They can't run the ball. He's their starting running back. His over-under is 40.5. Could this be the game where they actually do run the ball? That's what I'm worried about. 40.5 for Dowdle.
I don't think so. Steelers running defense didn't exactly bathe itself in glory last week. Jonathan Taylor's a different animal than Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott. Get this, man. Rico Dowdle, 34 carries so far, 134 yards, 3.9 a pop, 33.5 yards per game. So Najee Harris's numbers aren't great. Like, he's averaging like 3.5, a little bit above that, yards per carry. But the Steelers just will keep giving it to him. Dallas, when they can't run it, they won't run it. I don't think they'll be able to run it early. Steelers defense needs to respond last week. They're at home. No, these guys ain't running for jack. They're going to run for less than 60 yards collectively. So under.
45 yards for Dowdle. Oh. I think he crosses it. Justin Fields over under 45.5 rushing yards.
Love it. Love it. Cowboys giving up near 40 yards a game on the ground to quarterbacks. We've gone over this. Deshaun Watson ran on him. Lamar Jackson ran on him. Justin Fields found his legs in the second half against Indianapolis. Over.
With you. Read option. It's going to be a big component to the Steelers offense Sunday night. CeeDee Lamb over under 80.5 receiving yards.
I thought Joey Porter Jr. played as bad as he's played in a Steelers uniform. And when asked, Terrell Austin said, JPJ's not going to follow CeeDee Lamb around. I wonder if there's some gamesmanship there. Said they were going to have a conversation with Joey. I'm sure Joey Porter Jr. is going to, you know, state his case. I can see CeeDee Lamb lined up in the slot against Beanie Bishop a couple of times. It's a matchup they're going to hunt. He's really their only option, kind of like George Pickens is for the Steelers. I don't like it, but I think he'll probably go over.
Yeah, I'm close. I think he's slightly under, but he's still going to get his. So I'm going to go under 80.5 receiving yards for CeeDee Lamb. Jake Ferguson, their tight end, he's their other option in the passing game, 46.5 receiving yards.
I think Dak's going over his numbers, so I think Jake Ferguson's going to be part of that. Real quick on Lamb, 79 yards a game. And the over-under was 80.5?
Yep.
Oh, you dogs in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think Jake Ferguson goes over as well.
I am with you. I think he's the other option. He's the only other option. He does go over 46.5. George Pickens over under 54.5 receiving yards.
I like the over. If Justin Fields is going over, he throws to one guy. Really. I mean, he spreads it around, but he is going to have one guy with the target share. 11 targets last week for Pickens. Going to be in that ballpark again. I'm going over.
I am with you. Over 54.5 receiving yards. Pat Freiermuth, 31.5 receiving yards.
Dallas has been okay at handling the tight ends apart from in the red zone. So I might expect a score from Freiermuth in this game. I think he goes under the number.
I think he goes over 35, 36 yards receiving for Freiermuth. Pat Freiermuth over under 3.5 receptions.
Did you know, Doran, that he is the only tight end in football to have 4 or more receptions in every game so far?
Wow.
Great stat.
Yep.
He does it again. At least 4 catches. He goes over.
I agree. 4 catches for Patty Fry.
Bad year for tight ends, by the way.
I know.
Just around the league.
It's disappointing.
Injuries.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
Yeah.
It makes me
sad. Are you going to be okay?
Yes, because this next guy, I think, is going to go over as well. Over under 1.5 receptions for Darnell Washington.
I think they can keep involving him more. And Justin Fields called it the turning point of the game for them offensively. When he's running down the sideline and jumping over dudes, he looks different. Like, no hyperbole here. He looks different than any guy on the planet when he's running full speed. It's absurd. Like, no, you want I'd rather tackle Derrick Henry. I'd rather box James Harrison than try to tackle that guy in the open field. He'll go over the 2.
Yes, he will. George Pickens over under 4.5. I think we both are in agreement that it'll be over because the target share last week was, what, 11?
11 and then only 4 to other receivers.
Yeah, so 4.5 receptions for George Pickens. I think that we can get on the same page that he will hit that. Calvin Austin over under 1.5 receptions.
Oh.
He had 1 last week.
He had the big one the week before. I'd like to see Roman Wilson get involved. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go 1 again.
Yeah, I think he has 1, but I think he does carry the ball whatever way. Maybe a jet sweep, maybe an end around, something like that. I think he does carry the ball.
Jet sweep.
Yeah, you love jet sweeps. Will Justin Fields throw a touchdown?
Yes.
Will he rush for a touchdown?
Yes.
Will he throw 2 touchdowns?
No.
Will he run for 2 touchdowns?
Yes, he will.
Again, like last week?
Yes.
Okay.
You said it, man. The read option. You got Russell Wilson as the backup quarterback now. You don't want Fields to get hurt, but you feel like he could use his legs more if you trust your backup. Yeah, I think this is the read option game for him.
Will,
and it's been a weapon for them in the red zone. Sorry.
T.J. Watt have a sack?
Absolutely, he will.
Well, we have two sacks.
Yeah, you don't keep that guy down, man. And they're going to drop back and throw it a bunch. Dak's been sacked 10 times on the year. I think he's going to get off his schneid in a big way.
I think he has two sacks as well. You just kind of alluded to it. Will Russell Wilson, this is the question that I wrote up, will Russell Wilson be the backup quarterback? But let's change it a little bit because I think that we are pretty certain that he will be the backup quarterback. How many times do they pan to him on the broadcast of him pacing up and down the sideline saying that he is the backup quarterback and not just the emergency quarterback?
It could be a handful of times.
Yeah.
Anytime Justin Fields misses a throw or does something silly, takes a sack, yeah, they're going to cut on over to Russell Wilson. Sierra, you think she's going to be there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big game. Brand game.
Brand game.
She's a brand. Brand game. All right, last one for you. Will they show Neil O'Donnell throwing an interception in the Super Bowl on the broadcast?
Yeah, and then they're going to show the fake spike from Ben, Antonio Brown, and they're going to show some 70s highlights of the Steelers beating the Cowboys in the Super Bowls. They're going to show all of it, including that, yeah.
Yeah, they will. I agree. All right, that's it.
Odds and ends.
Yep.
Pony and Muller do a segment on Fridays called Remember a Guy. I think it's a really good idea. Well, they'll just bring back a random Steeler and talk to him. Going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to be Neil O'Donnell this week.
I feel like he fell to the face of the earth.
I wonder what he's up to these days. I'm going to figure that out.
Yeah.
Chris Carter, that was good, Dorm.
Thank you.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette, going to join us next. A little film breakdown. Who's dangerous on Dallas? We know about CeeDee Lamb. Who else scares you on the offense? Who scares you on the defense without their two main dogs out? Carter will know. He's watching the tape. Oh, we are having fun. Someone texted in, Neil O'Donnell sells field turf now.
Oh.
Would have been better served just throwing those footballs at the turf. Would have probably helped. Another texter says Snoop Dogg going to be at the game.
Yes, he is.
Which we have talked about.
Uh-huh.
So we would expect Sierra to be there.
Uh-huh.
Has she been around whenever he's been the emergency third quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been at games.
So she'll definitely be there on Sunday night.
She will.
I mean, one Justin Fields hit away potentially from her hubby being in the ball game.
Yep.
We're joined now by Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Carter, you wrote a really good piece in the Post-Gazette this week about the Steelers linebackers and whether or not there are schematic issues with this defense, and that's why Joe Flacco was able to pick them apart, or if it was just miscommunication on the back end. And your findings were?
You know, as always, it's a mix of both. But the big plays that the Steelers gave up were purely because of miscommunications, guys being in the wrong spots at the wrong time. The first touchdown, Joey Porter Jr. is running with the guy Beanie Bishop's running with. And as soon as the touchdown scored, Josh Downs is in the end zone. Patrick Queen's looking at him like, where were you going? Like you know, he's, you know, we needed you here on this guy. That was a breakdown. Then on the second touchdown, it was Beanie Bishop falling out of his zone, running when man, while everyone else was in the cover two zone, his zone was the area where the tight end ran to and was able to score from. But the other spots where they were able to hit, you know, hey, they had some like 8 or 9 yards. It was interesting when I asked Mike Tomlin about like, hey, you guys are like the number 8 passing defense, but you're giving up the 5th most passing yards over the middle. He said like, hey, you know, that's kind of what, you know, we allow in certain spots. And to his point, when I looked it up, if the two coverage Babon coverages on the touchdowns don't happen, the statistics that the Colts would have had through the air would have been almost identical to what the Chargers, what the Broncos, and what the Falcons did, and they wouldn't have had two touchdowns. And if Joey Porter Jr. doesn't drop an interception in the end zone, they also keep their average of one interception per game going when targeting balls over the middle. So there's a lot of things that, yeah, you could say like, hey, there's concessions that are made in this defense, just like there's concessions made in every defense if you run man all the time. But they're basing it on, can this defense consistently be in the right spots? They were for 3 games. In this game, they broke down at some critical junctures, and then they didn't make it up with turnover plays. That led to their loss. Mike Tomlin and this team are going to gamble that that's not going to happen often enough to sink them. That what's going to tell this season, I think, is if they're right in that gamble.
Are the Cowboys a good football team?
Ah, without Micah Parsons and without Lawrence, I don't know. I think they can be. I think that they have, like, you know, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb are still dangerous. They're going to present serious threats. But without those guys on defense, I got to see how this defense reacts. How do they rally in this game? Like, for example, you know, one thing I was talking to Marcus Mosher, who does the Locked On Cowboys podcast this week, and he was telling me that, you know, this team has already been bad against the run. They're going to want to sell out against the run against the Steelers, which is something the Colts did last week, and the Steelers really didn't counter it too well. So my thinking is a big part of this game is going to come down to, if the Cowboys do sell out to stop the run, how do the Steelers counter it? Do they keep trying to run at it like they did last week until they're behind, or do they hit play action? Do they switch some things up at the line of scrimmage? Those might be things that need to be accounted for there. Are the Cowboys a good team? I picked them to win the division at the start of the year, but with their injuries piling up, and it's not just their superstars, it's their depth guys. With those guys, I think that they might not be a good team, but you never know when you have a franchise quarterback and a superstar wide receiver. A lot of times those two things can carry a beat up roster through some tough games.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joining us here in the Fan Morning Show. Back to the Steelers offense for a second. The Steelers run the ball a ton on first down, and we even heard Arthur Smith say yesterday that the Colts were blitzing them. I mean, they were run blitzing them. Are the Steelers predictable offensively? And if so, how do you change up the tendency there?
I think they are predictable. And I think part of their recipe is, like, hey, they're predictable in the sense that they're going to protect the football. So that tendency you can bet on if you're a defense. I do think they should switch some things up, especially one thing was interesting. We talked to Justin Fields. Both Arthur Smith acknowledged, like, hey, we allow certain switches to happen in different plays. And Justin Fields said, yeah, each play we have certain things we can switch out of it. But he did say also, when it's a run play, he's not switching out of that. He's sticking to the run play. Now, if it's a run play and they see, hey, they're in the gaps, it's his job to adjust and say, hey, let's go a different direction. Let's find a way to counter that in this run play. But I think there should be plays where there were plays where the Colts safeties were, like, in the box with their, you know, foot pointed forward. Like, obvious, they are blitzing. They are coming to stop the run. Those are the plays where you got to just be like, check, check. And, you know, you're hitting Freiermuth over the middle. You're running a slant with Calvin Austin. Just something to keep them guessing at those points. Because it'd be one thing if this Steelers offensive line was formed, if Broderick Jones was a six-year, you know, all-pro, if, you know, Zach Frazier was a seventh-year all-pro. If this was like Pouncey and DeCastro in their prime, then you could say, you know what? They can do that. We don't care because we can run them. Because that's what they did with Le'Veon Bell in those days. Teams would know they were coming and they still couldn't
stop
it.
They ran the same counter play 150 times in a row against Cincinnati that one. The same play. Bam!
Exactly. But this offensive line isn't there yet. And that's why I think Arthur Smith needs to do more to say, hey, we can't, you know, we want to be bullies and we will get to be bullies. But while we're figuring that out and while, you know, you're dealing with also plenty of injuries on your offensive line, why not? Let's lean into this a little bit more by saying, hey, Justin Fields has been making good decisions. Let's let him make good decisions early on in the game. Catch these guys off guard. Then when they see that you can connect on some passes the way that Justin Fields has shown he can do and the way that he can protect the football, now all of a sudden, if you're the Cowboys or you're any defense, you're sitting here, we can't just play the run because they're killing us with this. Then you put them on their heels, and then you can get to running the football and playing the balanced offense.
Can this offensive line get there this game with Sam Ollu being back? Can one guy make a difference?
I think he can be, because Sam Ollu was supposed to be the leader of this group. He was supposed to be the guy that was going to be the catalyst that everyone get behind me. I'm going to lead us here. And, you know, offensive line, it's about everyone getting on the same page. They're still going to have their mistakes, but I do think with Sam Ollu in there, he's going to boost the left side of the line. I think losing James Daniels is a much bigger blow than people realize. He was huge so far to start this season. But I look at this group and I look at, hey, last week they were facing the Colts, whose run defense had been pretty bad, but the Colts sold out to stop the run, and that's what they did. Like, you have to think the Cowboys are coming with the same thing. So the Steelers' objective this week is to kind of counter that. Get ready for that type of a plan. If they come out that, hit them with a couple passes. If you do that, if you neutralize their run blitz by saying, hey, we can hit the passes early in games, and you stop them from doing that early on, then guess what? Then the run game is going to get going, and then you're probably going to look a lot more like you did in the fourth quarter against the Chargers when they're a good defense and you were just mowing them down at the end of the game, because the Cowboys just won't have the ability to try to throw everything at the line of scrimmage.
Chris, appreciate your time. I know you had your hair cut earlier. You look fresh.
Yeah.
You look good.
Thank
a 7:45 haircut's a little early.
I got one more question. Rodney Hammond Jr. being back for the Pitt Panthers, Chris.
Doran, I can't tell you how, like, I had to keep my jaw from dropping on the conference room table when Pat Narduzzi said that, because we got an email. It's August 30th. We get an email that Rodney Hammond is ineligible for the season for competitive play, but he'll be around the team. And I'm just like, what? I searched high and low. I was asking here, there, and everywhere. I went and I asked, and I was like, hey, the only thing I got was that, hey, this is not about academics. And so then, of course, everyone's like, oh, it's about this, it's about that, it's about this, about that. And, you know, everyone's lips were sealed around the situation. So just assuming, hey, he's out for the season, all of a sudden he's back. I don't know. I do know this. He's been practicing with the team this whole time, so it's not like he has to learn the offense or anything like that. Doran, I think this could be really exciting for Pitt if him and Des Reed are a tandem, because Des Reed's speed is a problem. Rodney has speed. He can make plays out of the backfield, but Rodney's the guy that's going to mow you down. And now, what you saw, like, in those games against West Virginia, against Cincinnati, they were leaning on Des Reed so much. It was like, man, how much more can his body take over the season? Now you have that guy that can do that. And then you could bring in, Derek Davis, Dan Carter, Che Nwabuko, those guys after the fact. But those two is a 1-2 punch already with Eli Holstein and this receiving crew that's cooking right now. I think it means really good things for Pitt football. They got to deliver this weekend against North Carolina, a defense that has been struggling mightily this season. I predict them in the PG in our preview to put up 52 points this week.
52 points?
Oof. Yep.
Mr. Carter, appreciate your time. Again, you look good. I think Doran asked that question because he didn't want you to have better hair than him.
Yeah, that's what, no one can have better hair than Doran. Look at that. He probably got his hair cut at 7:30 this morning.
Every Thursday. Every
right
Thursday.
Here in the studio on air.
Every Thursday at 10:30.
Yep.
All right, Chris. We love you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Chris.
We love you. Yeah. Why?
I let a lot of things go that you say because, you know, you're you and you just say things. And I'm just like, yeah, man, just go ahead.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm talking to a relative.
Yes.
Just right off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good stuff. Good breakdown there from Carter. I don't know if. I mean, I really like the guy. I'm the Biggest Loser today. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. When we come back, game predictions, Steelers, Pitt, our Sunday game balls on a Friday, Dorn. Who do we think's going to show up for the Steelers in this contest? We'll tell you coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One more thing on Rodney Hammond coming back for Pitt. It is a nice little play there that they announced it on a Thursday.
Yes.
So North Carolina gives up 70 points to JMU, gives up 21 unanswered points to Duke. You've got Eli Holstein, you've got Desmond Reed, you've got Mumfield, you've got all these weapons they have offensively, and North Carolina's like, all right, well, we're not good defensively. We feel like we got a plan. Bang, Rodney Hammond.
Yep.
On a Thursday.
Yep.
Not before the press conference, not Pat Narduzzi going, oh, we got big guy coming back this week and Rodney Hammond. I stuttered. No, I wait till Thursday. I like that move, but I don't know if he just became eligible on Thursday, if that's how that went, or if it's just gamesmanship. If it's gamesmanship, I really like that from Narduzzi.
Yes.
Do they win the game?
Yes.
Do they win by a lot?
10.
Carter says they're going to put up 52 points on North Carolina.
I know. I feel like if they do get up early, the ball will just be rolling.
If they score a couple tutties in their first few possessions, they're putting up 50.
Yes, exactly.
If they get out to a slow start, it doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to put up points, as we've seen already. I think Pitt wins. I think they win going away, and they start off conference play 1-0 before they take on the Cal Golden Bears at home next week. All right, on to the Steelers. Who wins?
Steelers.
If you're giving out a game ball today for the performance on Sunday, who are you giving it to?
Mason McCormick? Yep.
Now starting at right guard for the Steelers with Isaac Seumalo coming back.
Yes.
I'm happy you asked Chris about Seumalo. Like, that's a big deal for them. And I happen to think now, after hearing from Trey Essex, after hearing from Chris Hoke with Starkey, they both said the same thing about that botched snap at the end of the game. That, yeah, it's on Fields, but also a little bit on McCormick at left guard doing the tap. They both thought that it was supposed to go on 2. Fields said it was supposed to go on 1. He did a good job owning that. If Seumalo's in there, it probably didn't happen that way.
No.
So not only from the center quarterback exchange standpoint is that important. And can we please not see it for a game? Like, can we go a full 60 minutes without seeing this darn thing? He's going to help create some creases in the running game against a bad Dallas rush defense. If I'm giving out a game ball, I want to say Najee Harris. He was so bad last week. He got called out. This is a terrible run defense without its two best players. It should be Najee. It should be a Najee game. I'm cheating here. Justin Fields is going to be the player of the game.
Okay.
We usually don't go quarterback. It's easy. It's cliche. This is the Justin Fields design run game. And he's going to be running a few times off that left side behind Dan Moore, behind Isaac Seumalo with the read option. I think he runs for like 75 yards.
Yeah.
I think he runs for a couple of scores.
Yep.
And I think come Tuesday for Mike Tomlin's press conference, we're going to know that Russell Wilson's going to be a full go. He's going to be the backup, I think, in this game. And you're not going to even have the conversation next week. Tomlin's just going to say, Russ is healthy, but we're going with the hot hand because Justin Fields is going to have that kind of game. And I hope it's a big start for them. We talked about the predictability of the Steelers' offense and how Indianapolis knew they were going to run on early downs, even when they were down early in that game. Because it was addressed in the press conference by Arthur Smith yesterday, he's aware of the predictability. The last time he really did that was talking about the middle of the field and Jesse Bates, and doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be that way. Then we saw them start to attack the middle of the field. We're going to see some throws on early downs in this game.
Yep.
And I think the statistics are going to pile up for one Justin Fields, both running and throwing. I think the Steelers win this game, Doran, 24-16.
24-16?
Mm-hmm.
I think they get to 27. 27-14.
And then you start thinking about that then. If that's the way it goes, 20 against the Chargers, kneeling out the clock when you could have had 27 points, 24 last week, 20-something this week, that, my friend, is a trend.
Yes, it is.
And something we haven't seen in a long time with the black and gold.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Starkey's coming up next. Did you happen to see Callis's video where he was teaching people how to use the fire hydrant?
I did, but I watched the video without the sound. Sorry, Callis. But it looked like you knew what you were talking about.
You watched the full 90-second video. The whole thing.
No, I watched like half of it. Looked like he knew what he was talking about.
He did a great job. I've never known how to use a fire hydrant, and now I do.
Yep. That's what I was, yep. Yep. Yes.
Wedding.
Grandma.
Cigarettes. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Right after the Steelers win this game. You just flip on over. You got 93.7 to fan in the morning. You wake up, you come into your car, and there we are. Pretty much the post-game show in the morning. And Doran's doing TV.
Yep.
So look for his smiling face on Channel 11. All right. Fire extinguisher. That's what we're looking for. Starkey up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com today. Ooh, high of 78.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.